We have talked in the past with Liz Schulman. She teaches at Evanston Township High School, and she's also at the School of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern University. And she has been sort of an interesting resource for all of us, sort of a behind the curtain, what it's like in the classroom, particularly with the complications of the pandemic and the use of smartphones. So we go to her again today. We've been meaning to catch up with you this semester. Liz, how have you been?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Really, really good. So just catch us up on what you're doing right now these days.
Yeah, so we have the cell phone policy. We have posters all over the school that say bell to bell, no cell. It has made things better in the classroom. It had to be such a big effort, by teachers, by administrators, big branding effort by the communications department. Teachers all over the country have been asking for this for years. So it's really nice to have it this year.
You're teaching what class, what grade?
So I teach freshman and senior English.
Before we just get too far into the cell phone issue, because that's why we do call, but can you just talk to me about the attention levels, and are we completely out of the woods on the pandemic, or are you still seeing a residual lag from what the pandemic brought?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely still, I think we are still seeing residual issues from the pandemic, and also from social media, because they are still on it. We're seeing shorter attention spans. Things like that are definitely still happening in the classroom.
I've also heard from teachers that the maturity level that you would have expected from 8th, 9th, 12th graders is a year or two behind. And we don't know what else to point to other than the fact that they lost a year of emotional growth while they were at home. Do you observe that as well, Liz?
I definitely observe it. It's funny you mention this, because this morning I was just having a conversation with a colleague and we were talking about the exact same thing. And I was wondering, when I had freshmen last year, they did seem to be a little more mature than the freshmen who I have this year. And I am wondering, because of the pandemic hit these kids at different years, how it affected each grade level so differently.
Huh. So in other words, the freshmen this year were dealing with it when they were in sixth grade, and maybe you're just now seeing the results of that work their way through your classroom. And Lord knows that's a pivotal time in a kid's life, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think, it's again, there's so many different things at play here. I mean, there's the pandemic. There's, the social media concerns. I think all of these things are of a piece with when we're talking about these kids.
And then layer upon that, then the complication, even under the best of circumstances, without a pandemic, you still would have had to try and find a way to teach and compete with smartphones. So you get that double whammy. Last year, did you all have a cell phone policy in Evanston?
We had like a quasi policy, but it really was solidified over the summer, everything was really ready to be in place, which it was for day one of this year, and it's definitely made a difference.
How so?
Well, they interact more because they're not on the phones in the classroom. I think there's some more room in the classroom to take academic risks because this is for teachers too, because we know that we are not being recorded. We are not under surveillance. It's really nice to read books with students and know that they're not sneaking a phone behind the book and that I don't have to check if they are doing that. That has made a big difference, watching video clips and knowing that they're not on the phone, but that we can actually experience we can experience things together as a classroom community. And so I think we have a chance at restoring what the classroom once was, you know, even though we do have a lot of issues, ton of issues to deal with.
What are you talking about there?
Well, I'm talking about just what we mentioned before about the shortened attention spans and social media and the use of AI.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that might be a whole nother interview. But so what do the posters say in the school? Bell to bell, no cell?
Bell to bell, no cell. There's some posters that say a cell phone free zone, and they have like some reasons why it's good for them. There are QR codes, which ironically they can scan with their phones in the hallway, yeah. And they can see, you know, it's linked to research, you know, if they want to see it, even though, you know, we all know the research, but it's just very, very well thought out. I was very impressed coming back this year. Every classroom has the phone pockets near the front, near the door of the classroom, and they do them. They put them in.
Yeah, that was my next couple of questions now. So how are you all enacting this? So there's a sleeve and they drop it in there, and kids are cooperating, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say there were a couple outliers at the beginning of the year, a couple students who, like, put their phone case in the pocket so it looked like the phone. You know, I mean, I might have done the same thing when I was a teenager. You know, a couple students tried to sneak their phone, but I've had very few issues with it, you know, since school started.
And then they just pick it up. I guess if a kid doesn't have a phone, their sleeve is going to go unoccupied. But either way, it seems like now you've got eyeballs on you, not on the phones, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I know there are some teachers who are like putting candy in like random phone pockets as kind of like a fun thing for when they do put the phone in there. But I think that it really is school-wide that this is expected, and we have a system in place now. You know, if they're mm-hmm. not in compliance with it, the deans are involved, the administration is involved, and it's nice to have that support that we were asking for.
Maybe this hasn't been an issue. I was wondering what the penalty is if a kid continues to break the policy. What do you all do then?
So we have a conversation with them. We on one of our online systems we kind of log the date and what happened, and then we contact home and we write a referral to the dean, and then at that point the dean decides what the consequence is.
What are the parents saying about all of this?
The parents have been very supportive. So the phones are supposed to be turned off when they come in, and not all of the students will turn them off. And, you know, as long as they're on Do Not Disturb, it's okay. But one day, one student's phone was nonstop buzzing, and it was her mom, you know, which has come up before. So when the parents talk to me, they've been, I would say 95% of them have been incredibly supportive in saying, oh, you guys should have done this years ago. And then, you know, I think some of the parents still text their kids throughout the day, hopefully understanding that they're not going to get back to them when they are in the classroom.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, in the in-between periods, do they have an opportunity to check their phone or at lunchtime?
Yeah, both. Hallways, lunch, yeah.
So really all we're asking is for 50 minutes. Or how long is the class period at Evanston Township High School?
Yeah, so we have block classes, so our classes are 85 minutes.
Right, yeah, I remember that now.
And then also our wonderful ed tech team has also blocked some other sites on the students' Chromebooks, because once they couldn't access social media on the phones, then, you know, because we're always playing whack-a-mole, then they would go on to the Chromebooks. But the school blocked TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram when they are on the school-issued Chromebooks, which has also been a huge help for just being able to focus on learning in the classroom.
What are you teaching the kids in your classroom right now? What are you all reading? What are you writing about? What's the subject right now?
So with freshmen, we are reading a book called Warriors Don't Cry by Melba Patillo-Beals about the Little Rock Nine, the nine black students who integrated Central High School. That's the book I was talking about when it's really nice to read in class and they don't, you know, we don't have to worry about them sneaking the phone behind it.
What a great, I don't know that book. But that sounds like a topic those kids could really relate to and appreciate, marvel at, and what a missed opportunity it would be, I'm thinking, if they didn't appreciate that, if they didn't consume it the way you might ask them to.
Yeah, it is really nice to be having conversations about what we are reading, having Socratic seminar discussions where they kind of have like a roundtable discussion, and you know to process the larger themes of the book. We watch video clips of Eyes on the Prize that has some original footage of that time period, and then of course connecting it to today. You know, talking about racism today and redlining and always trying to make it relevant to their lives today.
Yeah, no kidding. You also mentioned AI a minute ago, and I'm kind of curious about that. Liz Schulman is a high school English teacher. She's also in the Department of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern, and she's working on a book of stories from the classroom. She's been kind enough to join us the last couple of years and talk about how that's going out there. It's so good to hear, Liz, you talk about how with a firmer, a more structured cell phone policy, you said the classroom is a more vibrant place. It seems like on TV shows and movies, when the teacher is up there asking the students a question, you know, it's one of those Bueller, anyone moments. Nobody's engaged. And I would hope the kids would be leaning in and responding or asking questions. Is there the give and take in a classroom?
You know, that's a really great question. I would say that it really varies class to class. I mean, each class community is like a whole universe. And there are some that, you know, they won't stop talking, especially now that they don't have the phones, and there's other classes that are a lot quieter. So I would say it really varies, but that we have a chance now to build on that with a more firmer policy.
815 texted in and said, I teach at a school where cell phones are still allowed. Kids aren't supposed to use them, but it is super frustrating. And another teacher has texted in to say that they have a policy like yours. And they said, here it is. I'm a teacher and we just put a cell phone policy in. It's been a game changer. Kids are way more engaged. Do you think I would notice if I walked into a classroom then and a classroom now, Liz? Would it be obvious to me?
That they're not on the phones?
That they're more engaged?
Oh, I do. I do. I mean, it is so hard to try to illustrate how difficult it has been to teach, knowing that there were not really consequences for them. The sneaking on the phone, under the desk, some not sneaking it at all, just openly. You know, it's a huge difference, and I think that you would notice more engagement for sure.
I don't suppose you have time to watch English Teacher on FX?
I haven't yet, no.
There's a show called English Teacher, and it is and the other day they were lamenting the lot of teachers, you know, the frustrations. And the one English teacher just said, I just think right now my job is to get them off the phones. And it's a very funny show. My son's a teacher, and he watches it with me, or I watch it with him. But it made me wonder about that. You mentioned AI, too, Liz. What are you all encountering there?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a mentor teacher told me years ago that public education is kind of like a moving target. And, you know, you try to solve one problem, and another one erupts. And so I think AI is a huge issue in schools. It's been a problem in my class and with other teachers who I talk to. I think the biggest thing that I don't think that we are talking about enough is that it was not designed for school. but it has successfully infiltrated, you know, every school in America. Students are using it to cheat no matter how much the teacher is bringing it into the classroom.
How able are you to spot it?
You know, it's really easy to identify, but it's hard to prove. And so I can identify it pretty quickly because I know my students' writing and their personalities. And, you know, you can tell. It's just that the detectors out there can't seem to keep up with how fast this is all moving and how uncritically and how quickly education institutions have embraced it. You know, I think that schools are acting as though this was designed for schools and it wasn't.
Yeah, but I guess the kids are naive enough to not realize that this cogent, well-structured essay is not like the essay they turned in last week, and it's a red flag, huh?
Yeah, and I think that it's really difficult for them because they are getting tons of mixed messages. You know, they are being told that they need AI proficiency to get jobs. And so, I mean, if I was a teenager, I would be tempted to use it too. And so when you mentioned the show and or whoever it was, the teacher saying, you know, my job is to keep them off the phone, I feel like in some ways my job is to try to get students to feel that school matters. And that the drafting stage matters, and that's where you're thinking through ideas and learning how to solve problems. And if they're not getting those basic skills, I think it's really concerning.
If you were worried the kids weren't actually reading the material or writing original drafts, could you just take the time out of the classroom and say, okay, get on your Chromebook now or get out a line sheet of paper and start writing. Do it right now in front of me. Not because you're daring them to write without AI, but simply create time for them to do it in the classroom. Or is that not a useful use of the time in the classroom?
Oh, no, I think it's a very useful time in the classroom, and I do that a lot. And with the software that our wonderful ed tech team has, we are actually able to restrict tabs. And so I can, you know, either give them paper or have them on the Chromebook and say, okay, you're only allowed one tab open. And so they're working, and then I can actually conference with them one-on-one about their writing during class. And so I actually do that a lot. I think it's really valuable to do these kinds of things together in class, you know, reading together, writing together, and talking about brainstorming and drafting. It's so important.
This is just so interesting and helpful to us, Liz. You know, I think a lot of us listening now aren't in the classroom. Of course, we're not. And it's so helpful to hear what you're doing. It's also very encouraging to hear what you're doing. And I want to read that book when it comes out someday.
Thank you. I'll send you a copy.
I hope you do. Liz Shulman teaches at Evanston Township High School. She's over at Northwestern, too. Okay, let's catch up again sometime soon. Thank you, Liz.
Okay, thank you so much.